Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers, text number 13. Yo nama biravachi janam nijayam panati tantriyam eva dhamma biraga Yasmai balim ta ime amakarma Nibhara badascha kita vahanti. Ya hihu namabhi, by different names. Vachi, to the Vedic language. Janam, all people. Nijayam, which has emanated from himself. Panati, binds. Tantriyam, to a rope. Eva, like. Dhammabhi, by cords. Ga, bulls. Yasmai, unto whom. Balim, a small presentation of taxes. Te, all of them. Ime, these. Namakarma, of names in different activities. Nibada, by the obligations. Bada, bound. Chakita, being fearful. Vahanti, carry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as the driver of bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bull to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. Please repeat. Just as the driver of a bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. Purport: in the material world, everyone is conditioned, regardless of who he is. One may be a human being, a demigod, or an animal, tree, or plant, but everything is controlled by the laws of nature, and behind this natural control is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 9.10, wherein Krishna says, Maya dakshena prakriti suryate sacharacharam. Material nature is working under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Thus, Krishna is behind the natural machine which works under his control. Apart from other living entities, the living being in the human form of body is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunctions in terms of the divisions of varna and ashram. The human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of varna and ashram. Otherwise, he cannot escape punishment by Yamaraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of a brahmana, the most intelligent man. And then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. This is the perfection of life. The brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities. Sve sve karman yabidya birataha sasam siddhim labhate nara. The division of varna and ashrama are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence for everyone. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord, who is all-pervading, yena sarvamidam tatam. Supreme Lord exists vertically and horizontally, otam protam. And therefore, if one follows the Vedic injunctions by worshipping the Supreme Lord according to one's ability, his life will be perfect, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atak pumbira dvija shesta varnashrama vibhagashaha svanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O blessed among the twice born, is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. The Varna Ashram institution offers the perfect process for making one eligible to return home back to Godhead, because the aim of every Varna and Ashram is to please the Supreme Lord. One can please the Lord under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, and if one does so, his life is perfect. The Supreme Lord is worshipable, and everyone worships him directly or indirectly. Those who worship him directly get the results of liberation quickly, whereas the liberation of those who serve him indirectly is delayed. The word namavir vachi are very important. In the Varnashram institution, there are different names: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. The word Vak or Vedic injunctions give directions for all these divisions. Everyone is expected to offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord and perform duties as indicated in the Vedas. Yo namavira vachi janam nijayam banati tantriyam iva dharma virga yasmai balim ta ime nama karma ibanda vadas chakita vahanti. Just as the driver of a bull cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words and the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. In fear of the members of these orders, all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nahi kaschit chenamapi jatu tishtatya karmakrit karyate yavasha karma sava prakriti jayagama gunai. That all the Vyantis are forced to act helplessly according to the material modes of nature they've acquired, and therefore no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. That either we work according to the modes of nature, or we work according to Krishna's direction. But this body is going to do something. Now, our connection with the body is not 100% direct, in the sense that we don't directly do anything. Just like you may have a big, big machine, and you press one button, and the machine works. So similarly, this body is like a machine. We press some button, and it works. We don't have to move every gear in the machine, and every part of the machine we don't move, we just press the button. Similarly, our connection with the body is simply by desire. Although it appears to us that we are the movers and the doers of our activities, but this is only appearance. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarushaha ahankarab vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the three modes. An illusion, we can't realize this directly so easily. In other words, although we may not experience it, still if we act according to that knowledge, then gradually we can become free from the binds of our entanglement of material existence. But in the meantime, Krishna says, anadivat nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikantiya nakaroti nanalipite. That those who can actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything, nor is the soul entangled. So that's good news. We're transcendental. We're not entangled, although we'd like to think ourselves to be the doers, but actually we're not directly doing anything. But we have the capacity to desire by our free will. Now, in human form of life, we're expected to desire to fulfill Krishna's words. And if we don't do that, then we're forced to act according to eating, sleeping, mating, defending, or on the subtle realm, profit, adoration, and distinction. But this is the realm of less than a Shudra. Although we may be puffed up, let's probably use the word puffed up, seeing ourselves to be very elevated and advanced, being born in a civilized country, having so much technology at our disposal, but this advancement is not really the advancement of human life. If I'm an animal, that's not considered very advanced. If I become a big animal, I don't make any real advancement just because I'm a big animal. Although it says, Svavidvara Hostra Karar, Samstuta Purushak Pashu, Niyat Karna Patayopeta Jati Namaka Dagurja. That men who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's carrying a club in his hands. Gadagraja. In other words, we may appreciate someone who's more expert in material activities than we are, but that appreciation doesn't help us understand reality. It may eventually bring us to the point where we can also become better at some material activity, but that doesn't mean that we're going to become self-realized by such an advancement. Now, of course, we don't deny material life or existence has value for the soul, but if that's the only thing that people are trying to advance in, improve, then they're just wasting their time. So, the basis of human life is to follow the Vedas. Janmana Jayate Shudra. We've all taken birth as Shudras. And how do we know we're Shudras? Because a Shudra identifies himself or herself with their gross and subtle material bodies. So we just have to ask, am I identified at all with my gross and subtle body? If I am, then I'm a qualified Shudra. Or at least maybe by some advancement I'll become qualified to become a Shudra. Because Janmana Jayate Shudra, by birth we were all born Shudras. I don't think anyone here was born like Shukadeva Goswami as a self-realized soul in the womb of his mother, citing the Vedas and whatever. But unfortunately, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, by modern education, eventually we're trained up to become less than an animal. In other words, the animals, by their conditioning, have to follow the laws of nature. The human beings are so advanced that they can even go against what should be the laws of nature. The laws of nature say human beings should study the Vedas. Or at least, Janmana Jayate Shudra, they should follow those who are following the Vedas. Janmana Jayate Shudra. And then by Janmana Jayate Shudra, by Samskara Bhavat Dvija. Samskara, to do, samskara, completely doing, some activity which will give us a new insight, the fact that we're not animals. So there is Garbhadham Samskara, there's initiation, Diksha, marriage. So there's different samskaras to awaken within our consciousness that we have greater duties to do than just serve our senses. Now, even in modern society, there's something like samskaras, where they become more or less meaningless. People get married, and it's just a question of time for most people before they get divorced. And then they get married again and get divorced. Or they get married and the man has, and the woman have 3 or 4 boyfriends and girlfriends. So it's, somehow or another, it's just some leftover, for the most part, of some religious understanding that you should get married. As I mentioned before, one devotee, she was living with one other devotee for 17 years or something. They had 3 children, and one day they decided to get married. So they went to their mother. She went to her mother and said, "Mother, I think so-and-so and myself are going to get married." And the mother took the girl's hand, her daughter's hand, and said, "Are you sure he's the right man?" So marriage has become more or less like an imagination. So even the most basic samskara, death doesn't mean you burn the body and say some prayers or anything. Death means they put them in a coffin so the worms can eat them. That's the samskara. But there should be some awakening of some consciousness that there's more to life than just eating and sleeping. Then one may be directed towards Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskara Bhavat Dvija. Then one can become twice born. Twice born means another state of consciousness, awareness of what life is about. And Veda Panta Bhavat Vipra. And by studying the Vedas, one can actually become learned. Learned in the sense that one can understand what the difference is between matter and spirit, and that the purpose of life is to get free from material entanglement. And then Brahma Jana Titi Brahmanaha. And when one realizes Brahman, when one realizes one is a spiritual soul, then one is situated as a Brahman. So human form of life is meant for liberation from material concepts, that the purpose of life is just to eat and sleep. Instead, the purpose of life is to find out what I'm supposed to do with this body. Now, of course, when we in the modern society, people don't identify themselves as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and we hardly even identify ourselves as Brahmacharis or Grihasthas or Vanaprasthas or Sannyasis, people in general. And in our society, we have some idea that I should be a Brahmachari, but no one can strictly follow the Varna and Ashram system in this age. There is very difficult to become an ideal Brahmachari, that every time you see a lady, you only think that she's my mother. And every time a lady sees a man, she thinks that these are my son, except for his wife or except for her husband. Chanaka Pandit says that, what did Chanaka Pandit say about, let's see, Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu Lostravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yet Pashyati Sapandita. So this is human form of life. This is the beginning of human form of life, that every lady you see, you think is to be like your mother. Not that every lady, including your mother, you think to be like your wife. And every man, except for your husband, you see to be like your son. Now nowadays, there's even religious people, or even Gaudiya people are saying, oh no, you should look at all the ladies like your sister. Prabhupada said mother. Chanaka Pandit said mother. There's a different relationship between your mother and your sister. You don't have to listen to your sister. But you're supposed to listen to your mother. But unfortunately, nowadays, we don't listen to anyone. So they'd rather have sister because you don't have to listen to your sister. And paradwareshu lostrava, that everyone's property is supposed to be seen like garbage in the street. Not that, as I said before, it's the give and take philosophy. You give to me and I take from you. That's modern society. Everyone's whatever I have, I've gotten bored with. Now I got to get what you have. That will make me happy. When I see you have something and I don't have it, then I become very envious and depressed, and I make plans to get whatever you have. That's modern society. And a few people are able to do it. They trick people by the financial system. I print up, you work hard like a dog, and I print up some paper and convince you to take this paper, piece of paper that I printed up in exchange for all your hard work, and you think you're getting a bargain. And if someone else prints up the same piece of paper I printed up, then they're a thief. They get arrested for counterfeiting. My piece of paper is worth as much as any other piece of paper, but someone else's same piece of paper someone else prints, that's called counterfeiting. So by some trick, they're able to exploit people and steal everything they have. You have $100, it can buy $100 worth of goods. Now I have the printing press, so I print up another $100, and now I've just stolen 50 of your dollars. Because your dollars are only worth $50 now, because I have $100, which is worth $50, and you have $100, which is worth $50 in buying power. So I've just, by printing up some piece of paper, I've just stolen $50 from you. But you're still happy because you have that same piece of paper that's worth only $50 now in buying power. So in the age of Kali, there is no Dharma, there's no religiosity, understanding of how material nature works, or how the spiritual nature works, and there's no understanding of liberation. There's no even attempt at liberation. There's only a lot of Shudras interested in sense gratification, and a few Vaishyas, so-called Vaishyas, are interested in exploiting them. And their happiness is to control the vast Shudras, or get rid of them, thinking of themselves to be God and the controllers, superior to everyone. So, unless one can understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, take the actual choice that's given to us to actually follow either the Vedas, but how can we follow the Vedas? Who are we? We don't know if we're a Brahmin or a Kshatriya. We don't, as they said, we don't know if we're a Brahmachari or a Brahmastra. You know what Brahmastra is? It's a combination of a Brahmachari and a Grihastha. What would Prabhupada call them? A bachelor daddy. You know what a bachelor daddy is? Unmarried, but have a whole harem of children. full of children and wives. So, grihastha life, just because I have a house doesn't mean that I'm a real grihastha. One could be a grihamedi. One doesn't follow the principles. And vanaprastha means to go to on vacation with your wife and play chess and shuffleboards and checkers. That's vanaprastha. And sannyas means that, well, anyhow, they can mean so many things. The order of life is not brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and then back to grihastha. That's not sannyas. Sannyas is not a preliminary ashram before you take grihastha again. It's a break from the old wife. So, the alternative in this age, because it's not clear what our ashram is, what our varna is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, utilize this body in the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If I don't like to do that, then certainly I'm not going to like to follow the rules and regulations of varna and ashram. And therefore I'll be forced to act according to the modes of nature I'm situated under. And for most of us, we don't fall from devotional service to become a paka brahmana. It's not that when I go back to my old material life, then I'll be chanting Vedic mantras and doing sacrifices. Stopping the performance of devotional service and the spreading of Krishna consciousness in this age means I'll become less than an animal. Because generally speaking, we control our senses and mind, but unless we get the higher taste, as we dwell on the objects of the senses, then the result is we become more attached to them than we ordinarily would be. We actually dream that the happiness I'm going to experience is much greater than any reality that exists, just by imagination. The attachment one feels to sense gratification mentally is much greater than one actually experiences physically. And therefore, as soon as one stops controlling the senses or engaging them in Krishna's service, then when one engages in sense gratification, one becomes even more enthusiastic to do it than ordinary people do. As Prabhupada said, the old crows and the new crows. The old crows, they're sick of garbage. They've been eating it so much, it's the same old garbage. But the new crows, when they see garbage, they become completely ecstatic. Look at that garbage. Wow, I got it first. Because they've forgotten what the taste is, and therefore it becomes exciting. So it's not like we have a whole lot of choices. Either we follow Krishna's words in the Vedas, or in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and his representatives, or we'll be forced to become like animals again and simply eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But generally speaking, even the animals are embarrassed to identify themselves with human beings in Kali Yuga. Even the animals aren't so degraded. Just like a tiger, generally speaking, tigers on the weekends don't go and hunt for fun. During the week, they work hard to get their prey, bring home the prey to their family. But on the weekend, have some fun, they go out and attack a few extra animals. Even the animals don't go hunting for fun, nor do they gamble. A lion, maybe one time a year, he produces children. For the rest of the time of the year, he's a paka brahmachari. So he's the king of the beasts, but still, he's rather self-controlled. And we never heard, most animals don't take intoxication. We don't find a lion coming to the bar and sitting down and say, it was really a bad day. Give me a drink. All the other animals were roaring at me or squeaking at me. Disturbed my mind. I need a drink. So even the animals follow the laws of nature, but human beings, they break the laws of nature, and therefore they become more degraded than the animals are. In other words, to get take an animal birth is rather exalted in Kali Yuga. Most people are going to take a birth which is considerably lower than that of an animal. So the conclusion is, we shouldn't think we have so many choices. Or as I mentioned before, someone actually wrote to me, I have to write back to them, but Sridhar Maharaj was at Woodstock, and he was giving a lecture, rather heavy lecture. Now in Woodstock, has anyone ever been to Woodstock? In Poland? That people are not exactly in pure consciousness there. Everyone is intoxicated. So Sridhar Maharaj was giving some lecture, which is unusual for Woodstock, about following the principles and if you're less than an animal, whatever else. So obviously the people were not very much appreciative of his lecture. And one person from the audience threw a beer can at Sridhar Maharaj. And he picked up the beer can and looked at it and said, "It's not my brand." Some people think that's our choice. Whether it's this brand or that brand of beer, whatever else, betting on this horse or that horse, as if we have a choice. But we're just being impelled by the modes of nature we're situated under to make our so-called choices. But the real choice is whether we're going to accept Krishna and his words, or we're going to have to accept some illusory energies, words, instructions. In any case, Maya is also Krishna's assistant, meant to keep the conditioned souls in their material existence and suffer here so that they can eventually learn to make the right choice. Every time you make one choice, you get hit. And if you make the other choice, you get a flower. Then eventually you start thinking, well, maybe I should make this choice and get the flower rather than make this choice and get hit. So Maya is very consistent. If we listen to the words coming from the disciple succession of Maya, then we'll get smashed. And if we listen to the words coming from the disciple succession of Krishna, then we'll get the rose, the lotus. We'll make some spiritual advancement and get out of the material entanglement. So that's our choice. And here it says that we take the words of the Vedas, which are practically impossible. We don't read Sanskrit, and we can hardly even read the translation. So that's not really so much of an alternative. Therefore, we have to take the words that are found in Srila Prabhupada's books and apply them to our lives and our family and our society. And then there is some security, there's some surety of making some spiritual advancement and attaining the goal, the perfection of life. Become fully conscious of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I've heard about this Mishra yoga. Mishra Bhakti mixed with other yoga. Is it possible in Kali Yuga to think Mishra also for Varnashram because they are, you said before, they are mixed or?
Yeah, Varnashram is mixed, something mixed. Similar to mixed bhakti yoga.
Is like in Kali Yuga or also in...
Well, in any yoga, there's karma yoga, there's jnana yoga. So those who are mixed devotees means that they're doing devotional service with the idea of, like, as a shudra, to get free from distress, or as a vaishya, to get some economic development, or on the higher level as the Jnani and the Jignasu, either out of inquisitiveness or out of knowledge, to actually be situated in real knowledge.
Can I ask another question about the process of Vaishnava education and how to interact with this Varnashram education and Varnashram. I mean, because it's education is very important.
Education and Varnashram?
Yes. I wonder.
Well, our education is to get out of Varnashram. It's not Varnashram.
Okay.
Our education is to convince us that we're Krishna's eternal servant and to engage in the Sankirtan movement.
Thanks.
Maybe in the future, Prabhupada indicated that there can be a Varnashram college, because not everyone's going to accept the fact that they're Krishna's eternal servant, and they should engage in trying to expand the Sankirtan movement. That's not possible. So for those who are not willing or not able to understand the importance of engaging in the Sankirtan movement, so our society eventually may establish Varnashram colleges so that we can train people to act according to Varnashram's dharma system. So to teach, especially not the devotees, as Prabhupada said, they're not candidates becoming members of the Varna and Ashram society, but they have to teach the people how to act in that capacity. But right now, there's really no such a need for a Varna Ashram society in ISKCON, in my opinion, because it would be rather incomplete. No one's going to become a king. No one has the power or the authority to do so. We don't even have Brahmins in terms of actually understanding perfectly the Vedas and being able to instruct others how to follow the Vedas. So our Varnashram system would be rather incomplete. And even to get a good Vaishya nowadays is rather rare. To protect cows, hardly anyone wants to protect cows and grow their own food and offer 25% of that to the king who doesn't exist. For sacrifice. And even a Shudra, even with the devotees, sometimes we say black and they say white. We say up, they say down. So even to be obedient and loyal like a Shudra is rather rare in this age. So our only hope is to somehow or another engage ourselves in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and then get his mercy, because he's very compassionate. And his representatives of compassion. And even if we don't do things perfectly, like in the Varnashram system, you make a mistake in the jagga, you might get killed. But you chant Hare Krishna, unless you're falling asleep when you're crossing the street, you won't get killed. Chanting your rounds, falling asleep, crossing the street, and someone runs over you. That's the only way you're going to get killed in the Sankirtan Yoga. Other than that, if you pronounce the words wrong in the Varnashram system during a sacrifice, and Varnashram is for sacrifice, then for instance, when Twasta had the priest chanted the name wrong, and instead of getting a son who would becoming enemy of Indra, he got a son who is Indra's enemy. Whose enemy was Indra. Instead of getting a son who would be the enemy of Indra, he got a son whose enemy was Indra. And therefore he was killed by Indra. Just by one mispronunciation of a yaga, one syllable, which was long instead of short, instead of in a 3-day ceremony, chanting mantras for 3 days, one little mistake got the exact opposite. So, we don't recommend Varnashram in this age. Eventually it'll be there, not exactly in its pure form, because that's too complicated, but at least in such a way as that people will be able to engage in such a system and gradually be elevated to the platform of accepting devotional service. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Gaur Premanande.